Hi, my name is Azra Raza. I'm professor of medicine and director of the MDS Center at Columbia University in New York City. I'm speaking to you about managing MDS. And one of the questions that I'm asked often and I'd like to address today is when should we be using iron chelation therapy? I think this is a very timely question because at the moment the country is divided into almost half and half, two groups. One of them feel that iron chelation therapy is a racket of drug companies, and the other half that feel that no, it is a very important tool that we need to use. And there is a lot of confusion in the minds of people, so I'm glad that I have this chance to clarify the issue. Now remember that iron chelation therapy is really not recommended at all for patients who have high risk disease and who are not going to have long survival, because iron overload becomes an issue only for those individuals who are going to live long. That means lower risk disease. The first thing to appreciate is the fact that two-thirds of MDS patients, 70% at diagnosis, will have lower risk disease, and 85% of them will have anemia, and a third of them at diagnosis are transfusion dependent already. So we are talking about a very substantial population of patients who are going to be at risk of becoming iron overloaded. Now we have treatment options for these lower risk MDS patients, ranging from growth factors to lenalidomide to hypomethylating agents. But you have to remember that these are all palliative measures, that even if they produce great responses, the responses are not curative. So a patient who's going to live for 10 years may respond for a year or two to one of these agents, but then will go back to becoming transfusion dependent. In other words, most lower risk MDS patients will either be continuously transfusion dependent or sporadically transfusion dependent. Now, with each unit of blood, we put into the body 200 milligrams of iron. And so the body has no real physiologic mechanism to get rid of that iron. So with as few as 10 transfusions or 20 units of blood, if this is accompanied by a ferritin level of about 1,000, this means that the patient is already at risk of iron overload. And so in order to continue to give transfusions safely, it is wise to consider iron chelation therapy early. How about measurement of iron overload? So really there are three ways of measuring it. The first is just using serum ferritin level. But ferritin level cannot be used alone, because to begin with, patients at diagnosis of MDS who have never had a transfusion can present with a high ferritin level. Why? Because it's number one, an acute phase reactant. It can be high just from clonal expansion in the marrow. It can be high because of inflammation, because of some infection. So ferritin levels traditionally have been used and are a good indicator of iron overload, but only if they're consistently high and if everything else has been excluded, and if it is accompanied by a history of transfusions. Second measurement of iron overload is liver iron content, and traditionally this was done by a biopsy from the liver, but more recently these radiologic techniques of T2 star MRI have been introduced. And the third is T2 star MRI, cardiac MRI. So now we have liver iron content, cardiac MRI, and ferritin level. These are three ways of gauging whether a patient is iron overloaded or not. So I would like to recommend to you that if you have a transfusion dependent patient whose ferritin is over 1,000 and who has received at least 10 transfusions, start a conversation with that patient about iron chelation therapy. It's a little bit tricky simply because the agents that are available are either oral agents, or there is one that can be given IV or by a subcutaneous continuous pump. So it's a no-brainer to use the oral agents. But the oral agents, one of them can produce myelosuppression, another one can have pretty bad diarrhea and other GI side effects, as well as it can affect liver and renal function. So there are issues associated with iron chelation therapy. But the point I'm trying to make is you start a conversation with the patient. First of all, the hematologist has to be convinced that chelation is needed. Then they have to convince the patient that you have lower risk disease, you're going to receive lots of transfusions over many years, and the way to give them safely is keep removing the iron. And then talk to the patient about what type of agent they should be using, and then if you put them on the oral agent, explain to them all the possible side effects and that you may face these, but we have to manage by modifying the dose to what you can best tolerate, because any chelation is better than no chelation. Even intermittent chelation is better. So my practice is to give iron, start iron chelation therapy early, and when the ferritin level falls below 500, I stop and I hold the chelating agent and let the ferritin come back up to 1,000 and then start again. So really I end up giving just intermittent chelation. Why am I so convinced that chelation is useful? For several reasons. First is that since iron chelation therapy has been introduced, we have been able to prolong the lives of patients with sickle cell anemia and thalassemia to over 30 years. This is probably the most profound and dramatic finding in medicine, period. And so we know chelation therapy works. Second reason is that there are other benefits of chelation therapy, because patients' counts can improve. And third is that because I see 40 to 50 MDS patients every week, and I've been doing that for over 20 years. So I've been there, done that for all types of MDS patients. And when I'm dealing with lower risk disease, I have seen the end stages of iron overload. For example, I had a patient who's an endocrinologist who refused to take iron chelation, always found the reason not to take it. Eventually ended up with a ferritin of over 5,000, history of 75 transfusions in the emergency room with a heart rate of 180, and an imminent threat of dying from this. Then you want to kick yourself and say, why didn't I start iron chelation therapy early? The patient ended up in the ICU for 6 weeks. We had to aggressively chelate, giving the intravenous chelation in addition to the oral chelation. And now is the patient out again and going about their business. So when you see those kinds of patients, you know that chelation is important. What about the objectives? Why does half the country feel that it's not so critical? Because there are no prospective trials to show that chelation therapy helps. Well, you can't do prospective trials easily in lower risk disease because the survival is very long. So the trial would go on for 10 years, and who's going to be able to review the data with all the variables that happen in 10 years? In any case, there is a prospective trial going on slowly, and we'll eventually have results from it. But I think we can use our common sense, and especially someone like me, as I said, who sees so many patients over so many years and have seen the end stage results of iron chelation. That's why I feel that it is a very important aspect of managing lower risk MDS patients, and also those higher risk MDS patients who are surviving for more than 3-4 years and getting transfusions. We know that our classification systems for assigning risk scores are not foolproof. In fact, they're 50% of the time they can be wrong. So we really can only judge what is the patient's real risk of dying from following the natural history of the disease in that particular patient. And if that patient, by all the scoring system, has high risk disease but has already lived 3 years or so, it means that our scoring was incorrect. And this is the patient even with high risk disease where you should consider iron chelation therapy if the main problem patient has is with transfusions. So in summary, iron chelation therapy is very important. There are ways to document who are the patients at risk. There are ways to measure very accurately now through MRI techniques how much overload is present, and to follow it after chelation therapy and see what difference you are making in the iron overload estimations. And finally, improvement and other benefits of chelation therapy when seen in terms of improvement in cytopenias and improvement in an achievement of transfusion independence all go to support the fact that iron chelation is important and should be attempted in lower risk MDS. Thank you.